The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to the Blonde Files podcast. I'm your host, Ariel Lori, and I'm here to talk all things wellness, from how to achieve optimal health and well-being to the best beauty tips and everything in between. No topic is off limits. I know there's so much information out there, so I'm bringing on expert guests and sharing my own experiences to help you sift through all the wellness stuff without the BS. Enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I know you're going to love today's episode so much. One, because my guest is amazing. And two, because we are talking about hormones. And I know that there is so much confusion around hormones. So this episode really helps to just break everything down. I'm talking to Dr. Taz. She is a board certified integrative medicine physician. She's a wellness expert and founder of CenterSpring MD. It's an award-winning medical and wellness practice in Atlanta, Georgia, focused on health transformation. She gained national recognition as a best-selling author of the books What Doctors Eat, The 21-Day Belly Fix, and Superwoman RX. Her integration of Eastern medical wisdom and modern science, along with her unique power type discovery, has led to featured segments on The Today Show, Good Morning America, CNN, and eventually the premiere of her own PBS special, Superwoman RX with Dr. Taz. She's also the host of the Superwoman Wellness podcast and the health and wellness contributor for Fox Good Day Atlanta. She is dubbed a superwoman in her own right. She's dedicated to empowering women to radically transform their lives through personalized lifestyle, diet, exercise, self-care, and relationship strategies to help them rediscover their own superpowers. So I absolutely loved her, and I loved our conversation so much. Whether you struggle with hormone imbalances or other health conditions, or you just want to learn how to best support your body and how everything is interconnected, there is something in this episode for you. I know, like I said, you are going to love it. So please enjoy Dr. Taz. Welcome.
Thank you.
Really excited to talk to you today.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. It's so great to meet you.
You too. So we are going to be talking all things hormones.
Yes.
This is a very relevant topic, I know, to not just my audience, but, you know, women everywhere. I think that there's a lot of confusion around it.
Yes.
And I can honestly say, as a 38-year-old woman, I still don't really know what is going on in my body with my hormones. Only in the last few years did I ever really start to have any understanding beyond just I get my period monthly. So much happens throughout our lifetime and we go through so many different phases. So I would love to delve into all of that with you, but why don't you just introduce yourself to the audience. Tell them a little bit about what you do.
Absolutely. So I'm Dr. Taz. I'm a board certified integrative physician. I'm also an acupuncturist and a nutritionist. And I set out on a really accidental journey about 15 years ago due to my own health, where coming out of med school and residency, where I was working in the emergency room, I was thinking about being an ICU physician, all this sort of high adrenaline stuff, I started to get sick. And I was having sort of a range and constellation of symptoms. I was like 26, 27 at the time, that were changing how I felt and how I looked. I was losing hair. I was gaining weight. I had a lot of joint pain. And most significantly, I was just so tired, and I'm a really high energy person, and that was a big change. So I did what my patients often tell me they continue to do, which is try to power through and just make it through the day or make it through the month or the week. And it just wasn't working. You know, even patients in the emergency room noticed that something was different about me because they had been coming for a while. And then finally, my now husband and my mom kind of, I guess, did an intervention with me of sorts. They're like, something's wrong. We know you're a doctor, but you need to go get checked out. And so it set me on this journey of really trying to dig into what was happening with me. And it was a really hopeless journey, to be honest. I'm 27, 28 years old at this point. I'm being told I'm anxious or I'm depressed or, you know, I need to sleep more or whatever it is. And I took probably 8 to 10 doctor visits spanning over about a year to 18 months until I finally got put on a medication, which had significant side effects. And that medication caused me indirectly to drop my blood pressure, and I got into a car wreck, and it was just one of these aha moments. Mm. And so at that point, I was like, there's got to be a different way. And we didn't have Google to the extent that we have it now. We didn't have TikTok or Instagram or any of this. This is about 18 to 19 years ago, definitely dating myself here. But I had to just kind of figure it out. So I found the world of holistic medicine. And from there, I learned more about Chinese medicine. And I today continue to credit Chinese medicine with really fixing me and changing kind of the trajectory of what was happening with my health. And then as you start to dig, especially if you're somebody who's used to studying and learning, you want to learn more. And I kept digging and digging and finally, you know, went and became an acupuncturist and a nutritionist. So I had all these pieces and finally did the fellowship in integrative medicine with Dr. Andy Weil. And everyone kept asking me, what are you doing and what's different? So it's my husband who encouraged me to start a practice. So I started it in 2009 at Center Spring MD. And it was supposed to be a hobby. It was supposed to be like a little consult practice that I did every now and then. I would still work the ER. I was going to have starting our family, all this other stuff. And it just really blew up. And the reason it blew up was because everyone was having the same experience I was, where their symptoms, how they felt, regardless of the age. This was whether we were talking about someone in their teens and 20s or somebody in their 50s and 60s, you know, were not getting answers to their health issues, felt like they weren't getting heard, and really had a very limited toolbox from which to work. And so we got busier and busier, and I'll spare you all the stories of the clinic, but I think I finally had enough patient interactions and encounters where I'm like, this can't be a hobby. I have to be all in. And so by 2012, I committed to growing my team, growing my clinics, really making this a movement and a mission. And it's been such a journey, has had highs and lows for sure with everything in life. But it's so rewarding to find and be able to help and speak about these issues, which women still, I'm now 15 years in of seeing patients, right? 2009 to today. And it's not that different. Maybe the biggest difference is we have a lot of information now, whereas in my time, I couldn't find the information. But it's almost more confusing because now you've got all these different camps and they feel like they're fighting over what's right. And so the patient is sitting there going like, well, what do I do? And when there's too many choices and too much information, then I notice then you usually take no action, you know? So what I hope to accomplish is, in writing this book, is like, here's your diary, go dig in, understand you, and then from there, make your decisions so that you're not like having to listen to so much noise that's out there and having every expert out there saying, well, I know this and I know that. Instead, I'm trying to bring all schools of thought together so that you have an expanded toolbox. You can look at an issue from an Eastern and Western perspective. We can bring together physical, mental, emotional, energetic health, all of it. We can merge it all and really get the answers that you need.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of my own experience. And when I first got my period, that was, I'll date myself as well, 24 years ago, 25 years ago, something like that. We just went to the doctor and we were put on birth control at such a young age. And that was the extent of my learning about my hormones, you know? And it wasn't until I started suffering myself with my health and all of these issues, which it really does seem like are so universal and common among women, whether it's the brain fog, it's the anxiety, it's the fatigue, it's the hair loss, it's the acne, it's whatever. It wasn't until I started experiencing that that I then went on that journey as well of trying to dig into things. But it was still hard because the furthest that I could really get was a PCOS diagnosis. And then the same,
I have PCOS as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the kind of the long story of what everyone was missing back then.
Interesting. Yeah. But then we ended up at the same point, birth control. So then I had to find these alternative modalities. But I think it's something that probably everybody listening can relate to on some level. So why don't we kind of take a macro look at it? What are hormones? And what are the hormones that we are going to be talking about today, the predominant ones that fluctuate throughout our lifetime?
Definitely. So the best way to describe a hormone, it's a messenger molecule. That's probably the best way. If you need a visual, think about three different things that you learned in chemistry class coming together and really working through all the different organs of your body to make it deliver certain results for you. So I consider hormones messenger molecules, different amino acids or protein sequences coming together so that the body can function. The issue is that it's not limited to one organ or one system. Mm. Our entire hormone loop, so to speak, actually begins in the brain with the hypothalamus and the pituitary, which then in turn signals every other hormone organ, and there are multiple and more that we haven't even identified. So we're talking about the thyroid and the pancreas. We're talking about the liver. We're talking about your ovaries and your uterus. I mean, there's a lot involved in this conversation, but if you can think of a maze or an interconnected network, they're all talking and communicating with each other. So that's sort of like the scene going on with your hormones in your body. The ones that I consider the major ones that we need to track, that we need to be aware of, honestly, at every age are, and I'll just rattle through them, but estradiol or estrogen is the main one. Estradiol is the most active form of estrogen. It's the one that makes us feel good when it's in the right spot. And that's true for all these hormones, by the way. They all have a sweet spot and they all kind of need to be within that sweet spot or they work against us. So estradiol is the one that we need to be aware of. It's the most biologically active estrogen. But at the same time, we also need to be aware of something called estrone. Estrone goes in this category of dirty hormones or hormone metabolites that build up in our body and in turn trigger lots of different symptoms, including inflammation that work against us. So that's the estrogen family. Moving on from that, there's progesterone.
My favorite.
That's a really important one. That's the first one to crash, by the way. That's the first one to crash in women. That's what happened to me, and I had to go on progesterone in my 20s as well. But progesterone is that hormone that's secreted in the second half of our cycle, causes us to have that withdrawal bleed. And estrogen and progesterone, remember, work in tandem. Estrogen's going up, then progesterone's going up, then estrogen's coming down, then progesterone's coming down. Day one of your cycle is the first day that you bleed. Many women today even still get confused on where they start counting. But day one is that first day of a bleed. So progesterone's important, and its sister hormone that I think is really important to track, actually, there are two, is pregnenolone. Pregnenolone is a brain progesterone. And when progesterone drops and then pregnenolone drops, there's a lot of brain fog. There's a lot of memory loss, cognitive stuff that women experience. And then 17-hydroxyprogesterone is again in that family of dirty hormones. Again, hormones that build up and accumulate and work against us. So that's like the bulk. If you don't learn anything else after listening, like if you just can dial into those two sets of hormones, the estrogen ones and the progesterone ones, you'll learn so much about your body and what your body's doing and how it's getting metabolized. But there's more, of course, to the story. There's your thyroid hormone. So we like to look at something called the TSH, T4, and T3. Thyroid, remember, regulates energy, your metabolism, the quality of your hair and skin, and so much more. We also have an entire family of hormones that we call the androgens. That's testosterone, energy, libido, muscle mass, yes, but also for those of us with PCOS, acne and hair loss, scalp hair loss and body hair. But testosterone is one, free testosterone and DHEA. DHT, again, is another dirty hormone. And then we've got cortisol and insulin. So those are the ones that I think are really, really important to be aware of and to track in some regular fashion, at least once a year, to understand where you're good so that when things start to shift and change, and as a woman, we are going to shift and change multiple times throughout our journey, right? But if we know what's good for us or where we felt amazing, we can always turn that page and be like, this is really where I need to be. And this is what my normal is versus yours versus somebody else's.
You guys know that I am a matcha girly. I love matcha because it gives me that kind of restful, calm, alert, awake feeling. However, it only lasts for a couple hours in the morning, and I just don't like drinking matcha throughout the day. So I have been taking Elevate. It's this nootropic from Avantara, and I love it because it's this one little micro habit. You know, I love micro habits that has so many benefits, and it basically gives me that feeling of having just had matcha, but all day. So it has things like turmeric, it has lion's mane, it's really good for gut health and it helps to support the gut-brain connection. It's really amazing for mood and it's amazing for this kind of sustained focus, clarity, and alertness. So if you struggle with things like brain fog or inconsistent energy throughout the day or having that kind of midday slump, this could definitely help you. It has L-theanine, so that is what is in matcha. It helps to promote that feeling of kind of calm alertness. It also has green tea extract, so you get a little bit of that energy, but you don't get a crash. It's really amazing. I love it so much. And I find that when I take it in the morning, I just have really consistent energy throughout the day. And I have that clarity, especially when I am going to record a few podcasts. Normally, I feel pretty good for one. And then if I have to do another one right away, I feel kind of drained mentally, but not on days that I take this. I really notice a huge difference. So I have a 40% discount code for you guys. You can use the code TheBlondeFiles at avanterrahealth.com and you will get 40% off. That's avanterrahealth.com and the code is TheBlondeFiles. You may have seen on my Instagram stories that I have gotten really into tennis lately, and I play a few times a week in the morning, and then I have to go straight from tennis into my day, whether that's meetings or recording my podcast. So I don't necessarily have time to change, and I need to be wearing things that are versatile and can be worn for tennis or days that I have Pilates, and also be worn on camera. So this is where M by Maidenform comes in. I am obsessed. M is a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform. It's a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they are bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you have ever seen. So Maidenform has 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They basically wrote the book on bras, and M is the next juicy chapter. You really have to feel it to believe it. They have just the best yummy, buttery, soft fabrics that feel way more expensive than they are. So you are getting great style that won't break the bank. And they have on-trend designs that are made in these incredible fabrics, amazing colors. And the best part is that it can be worn as innerwear or outerwear. You can totally style it to your taste. So what I love to do is I love the seamless crop tank wireless bralette. Okay. It's perfect for working out, but it's also super cute under like a leather jacket or a cardigan. And it doesn't look like you are wearing a bra or a bralette. It doesn't look like athletic wear. It really transitions perfectly from doing something active to going to brunch or whatever you are doing throughout your day. It's the perfect crop, perfect length. You guys know I love my crops. They also have amazing bralettes. I love their racer back pullover. So many amazing styles to choose from. So visit maidenform.com and use the code BLONDEFILES20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's maidenform.com and the code is BLONDEFILES20 for 20% off your first order.
At what point in our cycle, I'm sure this is different for everybody depending on their age and just bioindividuality, yeah, but in general, can you say like, what is that point where we feel our best? Because I feel like I love progesterone. Like I can feel when my progesterone starts kicking in. I'm like,
yep,
naturally so calm.
Yep.
I'm going to bed so early. I sleep amazing.
Sleep through the night.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, this is what normal people must feel like.
Absolutely.
But I feel like I also have that energy. It's not like that fatigue, like
yeah,
feeling before my period. So is that when estrogen and progesterone are both at their peak, or like what is the point in our cycle where we're feeling good?
So and it does vary with different women depending on what hormone patterns they're having, but most women start to feel good around day 7. Mm-hmm. So they've had a few days of bleeding, estrogen's kind of coming up, progesterone's kind of coming up right behind it to about day 18 or so. I feel like that's when the majority of women feel really good, because then you've got a decent amount of estrogen on board. You have some progesterone on board too. Estrogen's actually starting to come down. You're still in that sort of peak of progesterone. But once you cross day 18, 19, 20, depending on who you are, that's when progesterone starts to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where women really get unglued. That's where you see the 3 to 4 o'clock a.m. waking up. Mm-hmm. Some women experience the heart palpitations, right? People are more weepy around that time, quicker, you know, to fly off the handle. I've had women come to me and be like, I will be divorced, or my boyfriend will leave me, or my partner will leave me, you know, if I don't figure out this phase of my cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually the worst for the majority. Now, the women that have estrogen dominance, which we can go into and talk about, where they're storing a lot of estrogen and holding on to a lot of estrogen, they have two windows of feeling bad. They feel bad the week before, the day 21 through 27 or so, but they also feel really bad right around ovulation because there's a huge estrogen spike there. They already have so much stored estrogen that they feel terrible. So that's where they may spot, or they may get a migraine, or again, they're getting depressed or anxious or having kind of these like more mood type symptoms right around that time.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's me. I've always just thought that I had PMDD because I feel like I have one
good week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear so many, I just interviewed somebody about this too, who's saying the exact same thing. She goes, I only have one good week. Mm-hmm. I'm either down or I'm up or I'm tired or, or off, you know, whatever it is. That is definitely probably too much. And again, I'm generalizing. We always want to look at data and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. But usually from practice, what I've seen, that's usually too much stored estrogen and too little progesterone. Mm-hmm. So you need an estrogen metabolizing plan kind of days 1 through 14, 15 of your cycle, and you need a progesterone building plan days sort of 12 to 28 of your cycle. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that's how we can kind of manage those two bookends.
Interesting. How do you test for the, I'm sorry, what did you say? Like you have a lot of stored
estrogen? Dominance. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you test for that? Because I mean, just for myself, whenever I've had my hormones tested, they're quote unquote normal. But even when I've done like a Dutch test kind of thing, they're always normal.
First of all, your symptoms mean a lot. I want to start there. Like your symptoms mean a lot. I think in Western medicine, because again, I've been trained in both, in Western medicine, it's all about the data. It's all about the labs and the numbers. But sometimes that data is behind how you feel. And that's what I found over and over again in practice. So I think if you're having symptoms like migraines, depression, breast tenderness, bloating, fatigue, you may have estrogen dominance, especially if it's timed around this ovulation peak, right? Mm-hmm. Or if it's happening post your period, days 1 through 14, that's when estrogen's on its rise. Now, in lab work, estrone that we just mentioned, I would check that because if that estrone level is over 100 or so, then we know you're storing estrogen, you're holding on to it, and we need to help you metabolize it better. I love all the tests. I mean, I love the Dutch test. I love some of these tests, but they're all snapshots, right? So it's having trends and patterns and understanding what your trend and pattern is what I think is really important. So that's why we'll even use like a LabCorp or Quest or, you know, to me, like there's so much debate on which lab, and my answer back is always just do something, but be consistent so we can track your patterns and understand what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. What are some of the most common hormone imbalances aside from estrogen dominance?
There's so many, but we can kind of tick our way down. So I write about this in The Hormone Shift, and I write about the five hormone shifts that all women experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you jumped on the first one, that low progesterone is one of the most common patterns. Estrogen dominance is probably the second. And I was just having this conversation where estrogen dominance is either low progesterone or too much stored estrogen or both. And so for each person, they've got to figure out which of those three patterns they're in because they each need a specific plan. After that, we move on. One of the biggest things we're seeing a lot of, which might be honestly over talked about, but I still think it's important to bring up, is cortisol dysfunction, right? Adrenal fatigue. We see lots of cortisol dysfunction in its varying stages amongst our patients and amongst women of all ages. So stage one is where your cortisol, which is supposed to be high in the morning, stays elevated. You're just stressed and kind of anxious all the time. The second one or second stage is where cortisol flips, right? It's supposed to be high in the morning and low at night, but you start to see a flipping of that pattern where it's now low in the morning and it's high at night. So you're tired all day and you're wired all night. And then the third or more severe pattern where it's just bottomed out, it's crashed out. And so we see a lot of cortisol dysfunction. And, you know, a lot of times I find myself trying to manage that. But as that cortisol dysfunction perpetuates, it crashes your thyroid, it crashes your progesterone. So thyroid is another hormone that many women, and I feel like that's an epidemic a little bit, and maybe it's because of the stress. I don't know, stress or chemicals or the environment, but I feel like I'm seeing more, you know, autoimmune thyroiditis, more Hashimoto's, more hypothyroidism in younger and younger women. So that's another hormone pattern that we're typically looking for. And then the last one, I think that's, well, actually there are two more. So there's insulin resistance, which is, again, like having higher blood sugar. Those of us with PCOS, we deal with that, right? Having higher than average blood sugar levels, and that raises that insulin and causes you to store belly fat, but also increases like your androgens. And then the last one is having androgen excess, which is high DHT, high testosterone, high free testosterone. And for those of us with PCOS, we're usually dancing somewhere between the androgens, the insulin, and then either the estrogen dominance, exactly, and the low progesterone. So we're usually dancing somewhere in that circle. And again, I think it's important to nail it. Otherwise, what's happening, people are walking out with like 50,000 things to do and getting really overwhelmed.
Yeah. I mean, it's so complicated. Are we all kind of born with this homeostasis with our hormones and then things kind of go off the rails? And what are the biggest, I guess, disruptors when it comes to hormonal health and hormonal balance?
Oh my gosh, what a great question. We can attack it in so many different ways. Let's answer the first part. Are we born this way? So we are born with certain genetics, right? Mm-hmm. Things that have been passed down to us. And there are genetics for hormone balance and hormone metabolism that we need to be aware of as we kind of mature into our hormone life, because we kind of have to plan for them, to be 100% honest. For example, there are genes like COMT, which I have, which means that we can't metabolize estrogen very well. So if you put a big estrogen patch on me or a pellet or any of these heavy-handed things, I'm going to blow up. Literally, you're going to see me just turn into a different person. So, you know, we have to be aware of how the genetics play with chemistry and be able to manage that. So COMT is one. MTHFR is another. There's lots of alphabet soup. You know, I won't go into all of them, but there is that genetic piece of the puzzle. So that's driving what your chemistry is going to do. But then we add some other layers on, right? So there's stress, there's gut health, there's liver health, there's environmental toxicity, there's food and food quality and how we're eating and the nutrient density of the food that we're eating. And if those things aren't lining out to support our hormones, this hormone havoc or hormone hell or whatever we want to call it comes quicker and is much more extreme than if those other factors are lined out. So I think when we think back to even what's happening today to women, you know, I think women today are dealing with a lot more PCOS and endometriosis than what I remember seeing, you know, 15 years ago. And I think it's because our stress levels are higher. I think that the level of toxicity in the environment is greater and our food quality is poorer, right? So most of us are walking around, unless we're actively pursuing it, we're walking around highly depleted, low in key nutrients, lots of inflammation, a digestive system that's not working very well, and then a higher than average toxic load.
Something that you said in the beginning was interesting to me, which is that you kind of hit this rock bottom with your own experience and then you healed and then you were actually going to go back to the ICU. And I remember I was thinking when you said that, like, did you just feel like you were armed with the resources then to go back into that stressful environment because things were functioning normally at that time? Or?
Well, I did advocate for myself once I was able to put those pieces together. And I remember thinking back, because at that time, remember, I'm thinking this is my career and I don't see a way of flipping out of it, right? And, you know, I started this, I actually went, once I realized, and what had happened to me was that the flipping of nights and days, childhood stress, trauma through my teenage years and into my 20s, and just med school and residency and what that means, you know, had really crashed my thyroid, had crashed my adrenals. I had a very weak gut. I needed to be gluten-free. Apparently we have celiac in our family and I didn't know. So as I cleaned all of that up and then really understood the hormone axis, you know, then I did go to my, you know, work bosses and I was like, I can't do night shifts. You know, I I can't. I'm happy to go down part-time. Mm-hmm. I'm happy, you know, to do whatever, but I can no longer do any night shifts. And they actually obliged me. They wow. were incredibly supportive. And they said, we understand. We'll do the best to accommodate you. If we, meaning the team, had an emergency, would you be willing to step in and do? I'm like, absolutely. You know, but it just can't be this, you know, I'm 11 to 11. I'm 1 to 1. I'm 7P to 7A. Now I'm 7A to 7P. Like, it couldn't mm-hmm. be like that chaos, right? And so that was one way I advocated for myself. The other way I advocated for myself is that knowing I was in a stressful profession, still not knowing that I was going to go in a different direction, we changed our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, I'm not going to earn as much as, you know, I could earn. I'm going to make this conscious choice, mm-hmm. you know, and my husband was okay with it. He was starting out in his career. For him, my health and well-being was of higher value mm-hmm. than anything else I could do outside, right? So I'm making that decision personally, and we're making that decision together as a couple, you know? Mm-hmm. And so those were things I did before this even became a thing, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah. I think that just being able to do that for people who are not ready to make a quick U-turn in their life, mm-hmm. you know, what are ways, and I talk to patients about this all the time, like, what are ways in your current life can you improve what you're doing so you don't have to quit? I didn't hate the ER.
Yeah.
I actually really loved it. I love procedures. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the population that came in. I felt like I was making a difference, mm-hmm. you know? So it's not that I hated it, but I knew that I would burn myself out if I continued at the pace I was going. Yeah. So that was my answer.
These days, a lot of people are learning all about the benefits of fasting, like weight loss, mental and physical performance, gut health. Also, a lot of people really love fasting for longevity. But I think a lot of people worry about the whole not eating part, myself included. But this is exactly why Prolon was created. So Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe that they are fasting. So it was researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute, backed by leading U.S. medical centers. And Prolon helps to promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon is not a diet. Prolon is science. In fact, it's science based on Nobel Prize winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's 5-day program. So snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's basically unlike anything you have ever experienced. I definitely feel like I need to do a cleanse. I'm feeling sluggish. I'm noticing that I'm having puffiness in my face and my eyes. I'm getting little rashes. And I know that it is related to food and inflammation. However, I have tried a few cleanses in the past and I just can't do the whole no food thing. So I love that Prolon incorporates food so you don't have to suffer through the process. So right now, Prolon is offering the Blonde Files podcast listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/blonde. Again, that's prolonlife.com/blonde for 10% off your 5-day nutrition program. We're all probably thinking about habits and routines, things that we want to leave behind and things that we want to implement, but it can get a little bit overwhelming knowing where to start. And this is why I like to focus on foundational habits. And one of those foundational habits that I have been doing for years is starting my day with AG1. So I started taking AG1, I believe back in 2018, sometime around then, when I was having gut issues. I actually had a call with the company and I learned that AG1 came to fruition because the founder was having really bad gut issues and was taking hundreds of supplements and nothing was really working. So the first iteration of AG1 was really for gut health. And then since then, they've continuously refined their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. So not only does AG1 help with gut optimization, but it really supports your body's universal needs like stress management. It helps with immune support. And I know that you guys appreciate the science. So AG1 has a team of doctors and scientists. It is formulated based on the latest science and research and maintains high quality standards. In fact, it is tested for 950 contaminants. So you can feel good drinking AG1, and AG1 makes you feel good. I drink it first thing in the morning. I truly have come to crave it. Not only do I love the flavor and the taste, but I love how it makes me feel. I really get just this kind of zip of energy, even though there's no caffeine in it, and this feeling of clarity. So if you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/blondefiles. That's drinkag1.com/blondefiles. Check it out.
I guess I'm just curious, like, how the listener or anybody who's like experiencing this, whether they're having these health issues, right, or they have hormonal imbalances, like, how do we live in a modern world where we are going to be stressed out? We are encountering, you know, environmental toxins and processed foods and all of these things that are kind of unavoidable. Certain things, obviously, you can be mindful of.
Right.
But I feel like stress must be just a big overarching
it thing. Is, but I think we use the word too much. So there's stress, and then there's stress tolerance and stress bandwidth, right? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things we all, like, if we want a big life, right? If we want to be out there and we want to do things and we want to accomplish things and we want a family and we want all this stuff, right? Then one of the responsibilities that we each have to ourselves is to be able to increase our stress bandwidth. Mm-hmm. How much stress can you take? And the only way to do that, and when I say that, I'm not saying that you're weak if you can't handle X, Y, and Z. I don't want it to be interpreted that way. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that when things get thrown at you, do you decompensate, or are you able to pull back and be like, okay, this is all going on. This is high priority. This is low priority. I can't deal with this stuff right now, but I do need to put my energy over here, you know? But you can only do that if you're nurturing yourself. And so that, what that looks like is that in a given week or day, however we want to break it down, you know, what are you doing for you? You know, do you, you know, I know you're, and like my husband actually, he's not a physician. He's a dentist. He knows nothing about integrative or holistic medicine. Well, now he might because he's on TikTok, but that's a separate story. But anyhow, but back when I was doing those crazy ER shifts, he said this just instinctively. He's like, every time you do a string of nights, why don't you go schedule a massage afterwards? Because he goes, it's going to calm you down. You're going to feel a little bit better and you won't feel so yucky, you know, coming out of that process. So what he was indirectly prescribing to me was a way for me to bring my cortisol down, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're in a stressful week, you know, where are the bookends of you bringing your cortisol down? How does that look? Do you go to yoga? Do you get a massage? Do you like to go out for a walk? You know, are you getting acupuncture? It's unique to you, you know, mm-hmm. the things that bring you joy. So those need to be in the calendar. So that's one thing we can all do. The second thing we can do is to really take responsibility and ownership of how we feed ourselves. And I think that's the place where no matter where we are, what we're doing, we can really try to dive into and own. Because I think if we're stressed and we say, okay, I'm too stressed to prepare my meals, to think about my meals, that type of thing, then we're incredibly vulnerable to this environment, right? We're going to eat foods that maybe have a higher chemical load. You know, we're going to make poor choices in a given moment because we don't have that stress bandwidth, right? Mm-hmm. But when we feed ourselves and plan out our food, like, this is going to be my breakfast, this is going to be my lunch, or if you're traveling, like, where are we going to be? Like, what are the ways I'm going to take care of myself? Then you have more ability to handle whatever's coming at you, and you have more ability to discern a good choice from a bad choice. Mm-hmm. So to me, those are the essentials, right? And then the third part of that is take the time and energy to understand you. Everybody doesn't need to be watching every single chemical and taking every single supplement and herb that's out there, mm-hmm. right? But you need to have that formula for you. You know, like, I can spit it back to you what I need to do for me. I have to be gluten-free. I need my methylated B vitamins. I have to take magnesium at night, and I have to take my thyroid stuff. And now that I'm in my 50s, I have to manage my progesterone. So those are the things that I have to do to feel good. Those are five things. I can stick to those five things, right? It's not mm-hmm. heavy. It's not a heavy lift. But what happens, I think, is people aren't nailing their main issues and are grabbing. So they're doing what we do with everything, I think, nowadays. We're in or we're out. We're in or we're out. It's 100% or it's nothing. You know, mm-hmm. we're good or we're bad, you know. And in reality, there just needs to be this very gentle sort of like 60-40, 80-20 approach to life, and then we'll be in a good place.
Mm-hmm. I think that there's also so much information out there.
Yep.
And I think it's hard to what you were saying before. It's hard to know where to start. It's so complex. There's so much information.
Right.
How do you know what applies to you? And then we're looking at what other people do. And, you
right.
know, the five things that you do,
right.
that sounds great. But like, would that work for me?
Maybe
you know,
not.
Who knows? Right. But, yeah. you know, we look to other people for the answers. And I think that it's just so hard, like unless you're testing, right? To your point also about getting your hormones looked at once a year, it sounds like you really have to do that so that you can know, because it's so precise, right? What to do.
It's precise, and you should get your hormones checked every year so you know your sort of chemistry and your makeup. I think that's really important. But this is the beauty of bringing in the older systems of medicine, because they would bio-individualize or type people,
mm-hmm.
and they would put them in these categories, right? So that at least gave you some sort of starting point, right? If you were Pitta with liver meridian issues, for example, if we steal from Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine, then you already knew just with those words that you needed protein, you needed to eat consistently, you needed things like liver supporters in your diet, and you would be pretty much on the right track at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we expand kind of how we think about our bodies and think about, we do need to find the formula for us and we do need to spend some time and energy around that, then I think that the information overload, the noise narrows a bit. And that's what I do a lot in The Hormone Shift. One of my, you know, sort of intentions with that book was to help women walk through a system of being able to start to curate this formula for them by identifying their dominant hormone pattern, their dominant emotional pattern, maybe what their dosha is, maybe what their meridian pattern is, and then really taking all that information, putting it together, and then saying, this is the plan that I need to follow, you know, and we do that in the book. And of course, we don't have the luxury of testing every single person that's mm-hmm. out there, but that's probably the next step, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding and what we have found in practice over and over again is that the testing and the data supports all of this, right?
Interesting.
So that way you, and the other part of this, in the beginning, it's a heavy lift, right? And when you're starting to learn, it's like anything, when you're starting to learn, everything takes longer and it's more effort and more energy and more time. But once you get it, it's like riding a bike. You're mm-hmm. like, oh, I know what's happening here. I need to get back on track, you
mm-hmm.
know? And you very quickly can kind of correct back to what works for you.
What are some other Eastern practices that really support this? Not to put down Western
yeah.
medicine, but there's kind of a one size fits all approach.
Right.
And at least in my experience, you never hear about
yeah.
nutrition or stress or mindfulness or
right.
spirituality
right.
or liver detoxification, gut health. Like none of these things are in the same breath as
right.
hormonal health. So what are some of those other practices that are really supportive of our hormones?
Of hormone health. There's so many. First of all, I think if you look at, you know, even Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic medicine, one thing they really stressed was the importance of some kind of detox ritual,
mm-hmm.
right? So they looked at everything from, you know, mini fast to panchakarma, or in Chinese medicine, doing things like acupuncture or cupping to clear the body and to clear energy. These were practices that supported hormonal health. The other part is they both, most systems that I look at, really stress the importance of good gut health. That was a foundational principle. And they wouldn't even touch hormone health until you really took care of gut health, because they knew, without having all the research on the microbiome and all this other stuff that we do today, that the gut was the foundation of health, right? Especially when it came to women's health. So they would focus very much on how do we build your gut. Again, building was a big word that they used over it, repletion, building,
mm-hmm.
you know, more qi. These were words that they used when they were thinking about women and their hormones. So how do we increase that? You know, so bone broth and, you know, broth-based soups were really important. That was the practice that was critical. Using foods that were easy to digest, like khichdi, for example, right, where the rice has been fermented and you've got the lentils for protein and you have a lot of ghee to nourish the hormones. These were hormone balancing or building principles. The importance of healthy fats, that was one that they stressed over and over again. I mean, you look at some of the formulas and recipes from the older cultures, it's a lot of fat. It's mm-hmm. like duck fat or pork fat or this fat or that fat. But there was a reason for it. You know, they believed the fat was nourishing and rebuilt a woman. And now we know, if we look at the hormone pathway, that hormones begin with fat. They begin with cholesterol. And if we're deprived of that, then we are going to have a hormone crash. So whether we're thinking about food or herbs or modalities or body care rituals, right? Like Shriadhara or massage or all these different things. These were all modalities and methods of helping the nervous system to calm down, first of all, and bring cortisol down, but secondly, to really support women when it came to hormonal health.
Mm-hmm. If I had to pick one wellness habit and one wellness habit only that I would keep in my routine, it would hands down be doing my sauna blanket. So this is something that I started using around the end of last year, and it has just been such a game changer for me. So I have the Boncharge infrared sauna blanket, and here is why I think it's superior to any other kind of sauna. So basically, it looks kind of like a sleeping bag. You get into it. I put it on my couch or on my bed. Don't worry, it doesn't get anything on your couch or your bed, your sheets, whatever. It heats up super fast. It's actually the quickest on the market. It's also the lowest EMF compared to other brands, which is a question that a lot of people ask me. They also have the highest temperatures compared to other brands. It's so simple and quick to set up and also really easy to store away. Okay, so why I love it compared to traditional sauna. I like a traditional sauna once in a while, but it heats up the air around you and your head is in it. So for me, I just find it to be kind of suffocating and I can't tolerate being in there for very long. So I feel like I don't really get the benefits. The sauna blanket basically works by raising your heart rate to that of physical exercise. So you burn calories while you relax. In fact, you can burn up to 600 calories in just one session. Sweating helps to flush out heavy metals and other toxins. The infrared heat elevates your heart rate, but you're relaxing. So you release endorphins, which can leave you feeling euphoric after your session. Basically, it heats the body directly rather than heating the air around you like a traditional sauna. So you get the same benefits at a lower heat and you don't have to have your head in like a traditional sauna. It's so easy to clean up. I just wipe it down with a damp washcloth when I'm done, roll it up, put it away, and that's it. And I love that I can multitask. I can read, work, watch TV while I'm doing it. I like to do 50 minutes at 170 degrees. It's very enjoyable the entire time. And I sweat so much and I feel amazing after I do it. So go to boncharge.com/blonde and use the code blonde to save 15%. That's boncharge.com/blonde and use the code blonde to save 15%. Let's face it, life can be stressful. It can be overwhelming. And when we are feeling tense and anxious, it's not just our minds that suffer. Stress can make a mess of your digestion and your immune system too. But here is the thing, your life does not have to be a constant downpour. So with Just Calm, the breakthrough new stress soothing formula from Just Thrive, you can say goodbye to frazzled nerves and hello to a steady, serene, more relaxed you. So the way it works is pretty amazing. Just Calm's proprietary mood lifting blend is clinically proven to help you relax and breathe a little easier in just 4 weeks. And for next level mood TLC, I love my Just Thrive probiotic. So the way that this spore probiotic works is that it banishes bloat and constipation. So your gut can produce more serotonin, which is your happy hormone.
Plus, it supports better sleep, which we know is imperative when it comes to mental health. So with Just Calm and Just Thrive Probiotic, you will have the ultimate stress-fighting duo to help you win the day every day. I highly recommend going back to my episode that I did with Tina Anderson last spring. The entire episode, we get into the science behind why and how these are so effective. And right now, you guys can go to justthrivehealth.com and use the promo code BLONDE20, and you can get 20% off a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive Probiotic and Just Calm. So that's like getting a month for free. And on top of that, a portion of every purchase goes to Vitamin Angels. It's a nonprofit organization that saves the lives of millions of children and moms-to-be around the world by ensuring they get the vitamins and minerals they need to stay healthy and strong. So again, go to justthrivehealth.com and use the promo code BLONDE20 for 20% off a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive Probiotic and Just Calm.
I want to touch on the gut health piece a little bit. As you were talking, I was thinking about when I had really bad gut issues years ago, and it was definitely affecting my hormones. I wasn't having a period regularly, and I went to a practitioner and I said, I need to fix my hormones. And he said, no, we need to fix your gut first. Yes, I know. Thank God.
That's a good one.
He said at the time, like, when your gut is in dysbiosis, that's a 24/7 stressor on your body. And you just mentioned cortisol. So he said, you know, if we do the hormones, that's like a downstream kind of thing. And when you still have that cortisol and your body is, you know, interpreting this or experiencing this stress, even when you're sleeping, there's nothing that we can do for your hormones that's going to be sustainable. So can you talk about the like interconnection between those two?
Between the gut and then between the hormones, definitely. You know, we can take it down to a science sort of conversation, but again, pulling back for just a minute, if we think about meridian theory in Chinese medicine, and if we think about Ayurveda and even the doshic sort of way they thought, like, a lot of the meridians that balance hormones were gut points. So they already got that. Like, to balance estrogen and progesterone, it's like spleen 6, stomach 36. Like, these were digestive points, right? So I feel like they got it from sort of like that web approach, like how everything's interconnected, something over here impacts something over there. But when we look at the science, your practitioner was absolutely correct, because there are a couple of key patterns that go with hormone imbalances. And actually, there are probably more than a few, but the ones that I keep seeing over and over again are, for example, if you have an overgrowth of yeast in the gut, right, you're going to have more bloating, you're going to have higher than average insulin levels. If you have dysbiosis, where the wrong sort of bacteria are living in the gut, you're going to have estrogen dominance. So let's say you have dysbiosis, you go in and someone's like, oh, you don't have enough estrogen in your system, let's give you estrogen. They plant estrogen on you. Well, that cycling of that estrogen is going to get worse because you have this unhealthy gut. So the next thing you know, you go from maybe mild estrogen dominance to major estrogen dominance. You feel like you're out of sorts. You're just completely, the hormone has made you feel worse. So there are specific bacteria that are responsible for the uptake of estrogen and to help estrogen break down. Same thing with the androgens. If the gut is not working correctly and there's an overgrowth of candida or yeast in the gut, that skews the hormone pathway towards an excess production of androgens, which are the DHTs, the DHEAS, all of that stuff that gives us the acne and the hair loss and stuff like that. So these patterns are so connected. Let's flip it. We've talked about a lot of excess patterns. If you've got leaky gut, meaning the technical word is intestinal malabsorption, but meaning that gut lining has been worn down either by stress or by the environment or by pesticides, whatever the reason may be, you're not absorbing the nutrients. So you could be eating perfectly, but you are not able to pull the nutrients out of the food and deliver it to where it needs to be. So your hormones, for example, need B vitamins, they need magnesium, they need zinc, they need some of these critical components to really work well. So that's another way the gut will impact what the hormones are doing. And I think the final one to really touch upon is this idea of how we break things down, specifically fat. So if you're not getting fat. That's one issue. Like, you're not getting fat in your diet. But the second issue is you're getting it, but you're not breaking it down. Mm-hmm. And then you crash the hormone profile, right? Mm. Because you're spilling fat in your stool. You're we need fat to stabilize the gut bacteria. You're destabilizing the gut bacteria. And then in turn, you're crashing. You don't have that cholesterol building block to build all the hormones the way they need to be built.
Mm-hmm. Do you like to treat all of this naturally through like herbal support, or when is hormone replacement therapy
necessary?
Yeah.
So it's a very systematic kind of approach, and I talk about it in the book. And again, let me qualify that. It's very systematic, but I have to meet the patient where they are. Mm. So when we're having a big conversation and talking to lots of women, here's how I want them to think. I definitely want them to work on gut and food quality first, move on to thinking about their liver health and their toxic load. From there, move on to looking at their emotional health, their community, their essential vibration. Are they really living in a way that's harmonious and congruent for them? And once they've sort of checked those boxes, right, and they've optimized their nutrition, you know, where do they land? And anytime you're making changes that are more holistic in nature, you have to kind of give it 90 days or you're not going to see the benefit when it comes to your hormones. Now, someone might be sitting in front of me or listening that's like, I need help now. I can't wait 90. I don't have the energy to do this and I can't make it through 90 days. So then I'm making a clinical decision. Okay, let's do it the other way. You know, and this is what actually happened to me, by the way. So I was in such a bad shape by the time the answers were uncovered that I actually had to go on progesterone and had to go on thyroid as I worked on cleaning out gluten and optimizing my nutrients and doing all this other stuff. And I was on those hormones probably from like 29, 30 to 32. And then I wasn't on anything again till 50, you know? So, you know, so I think it's, where are you? Do you have 90 days to see these things pay off? Are you so miserable that you need something right now? And that's the decision you have to make with your practitioner. And then we go straight to hormones while we do this other work. And then if you're often, if you're in the 20s, 30s, 40s, even sometimes the 50s age range, honestly, we can get you off hormones and your body's just taking care of the rest.
I would imagine there's a third group who goes, just give me the Band-Aid.
Yes, there is. There is, but that doesn't serve them well, right? Because the Band-Aid, the Band-Aid also works for 90 days to 6 months.
Interesting.
And then it starts to act against them. So the best example I can give you is of pellet therapy, right? I get all these patients coming in that have done hormone pellets and they feel amazing. It is the best thing ever. You know, they're singing its praises for 6 months. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later to maybe a year later, they're starting to see all these side effects, all the fallout, all this other stuff. So the Band-Aids work, but they're temporary. It's a short win. It's not a long win.
And is that because your body is not incentivized to produce the hormones itself anymore? So then you're...
Well, it's not incentivized to produce the hormones. It's not metabolizing the hormones correctly. You haven't done the gut liver work. So things are probably starting to go in the wrong direction. And you're starting to see that fallout.
Interesting. What are some things that everybody can do? This is all in your book as well. Some things that everybody listening can do to support themselves. And then are there any major things that we need to be on the lookout for? I know that we've touched on some of them today, but any ingredients that's like, no, like absolutely not, red flag.
Yeah.
Any foods, lifestyle things, anything like that.
Definitely. So things that you can do to support your hormone health. I think one of the key things, and we can just go literally down the list. I mean, I think the greatest service you can do to your hormones is to clean up your diet, you know? And when we say clean up, what we're, and again, 80-20, 20% of the time, if you want to indulge in something, it's fine. But 80% of the time, I would say really trying to get rid of processed foods, packaged foods. Reducing alcohol serves hormones really well. So keeping, you know, your total load under about 4 drinks a week is what I try to get women to aim for. We know that that burden of alcohol in the liver really does skew hormones in the direction of estrogen dominance and high insulin and androgens and all this other stuff that we've been talking about today. So I think that's a key. I think the second is really regulating your blood sugar and thinking about the role of blood sugar, because the more blood sugar fluctuates, it's a form of stress, right? Mm-hmm. And many of us don't realize that if you've grown up in a culture where it's cool not to eat, or, you know, you've gone for a long period, I used to wear a badge of honor. Like, I don't need to eat for 12 hours. I don't need mm-hmm. to do this. I don't need, my husband actually makes fun of me. He was like, I don't need to pee for X. He goes, it's not that you don't need to pee, it's that you don't drink water, you yeah. know? So he goes, that's really more of the situation. So we wear these things like badges of honor, but I mm-hmm. think we don't understand that it's a form of stressing the body out, mm-hmm. right? So drink water, eat consistently, mm-hmm. get your protein in, reduce your alcohol. Sometimes that's enough, you know? But then moving on from that, I think if you want to take it kind of next level, you know, optimizing your nutrients is a big one, and providing your hormones with what they need. I speak clinically, right? Because I continue to see patients day in and day out. And when we look at clinical patterns, the most common deficiencies are the B vitamins, the family of B vitamins, and then magnesium. Those are the two things that mm-hmm. we see over and over again. So optimizing those in particular, mm-hmm. I think makes a really big difference for hormones and hormone levels. And then I think the other thing we can do is learn to manage cortisol, increase your stress bandwidth, so you don't crash sort of this feedback loop that we've been talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So schedule these things that lower cortisol, that makes a difference. And we probably should touch on sleep. I think, I don't know how I could skip that when that probably got me into trouble to begin with. But, you know, I think understanding, and this is also straight from Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine, they strongly believed women had to sleep between the hours specific. They were very specific about this, between the hours of around 10 or 11 p.m. to about 5 or 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And if we were not asleep during those hours, they predicted that the hormone axis would get thrown off rather quickly.
Wow.
So I think understanding that as women, dependent on this feedback loop, the hypothalamus and the pituitary, which are taking in light and cortisol and stress and all this other stuff, that it has to rest. So moving blue light away from us, trying to get that deep, restful sleep state, really critical for healthy hormone balance at every age. And I think mm-hmm. I'm worried about our young girls, because they're like constantly, yeah. you know, like staying up late on the phone, like light in their face all the yeah. time. Another reason why we could be seeing so much PCOS and endometriosis oh, yeah. now mm-hmm. versus, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. That's a factor too, for yeah. sure. And we're all guilty of it, right?
Yeah, so yeah, I was going to say young girls. What about
us too? You know? But anyhow. But yeah, it's just something to be aware of. That's a very real variable now, mm-hmm. you know, that we're all exposed to.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
You have an amazing way of kind of disseminating this really complex topic into, you know, a manageable way. So
thank you
so much. And tell everybody where they can find your book and follow you and all of that.
Absolutely. So we'll thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure talking about this. Well, you can definitely follow along on Instagram. I have lots of little tidbits of knowledge for women of all ages there. So check out my Instagram page, just Dr. Taz, DrTazMD. I have a lot of spring workshops coming up on all things hormones. So join me there if you want to do a deep dive into some different hormone topics. And then if you want to be a patient, check us out at Center Spring MD. It's CNTRE Spring MD, where if you want to test your hormones, you want to understand how to find this puzzle piece of you and put it together, then we've got a really great team that is accustomed to doing just that. And the book, of course, is available everywhere books are sold.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you liked it, and if you like the show in general, please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe. It goes a long way, and it's actually the best way to support the show. Also, if you want to see more about each episode, you can head over to the Blonde Files podcast on Instagram. You can go to ariellaurie.com. And I'm always posting about each episode over on my personal page at ariellaurie.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.